Let's start. So in this session, I'd like to begin to look at the mindfulness training. So in the mindfulness training, of course, we are talking about developing our attention skills. We're talking about cultivating a calm, clear, focused mind. So within that practice, within the meditation practice, there are a number of aspects that we're going to look at. The first is what's called preparation, and that is to prepare ourselves well at the beginning of the meditation session. And within that preparation, we can talk about preparing body, speech, and mind. And it's important that we really prepare ourselves well at the beginning of the meditation session to make the most out of the meditative session. So we'll have a brief look at each of those elements now, and then we'll go on to look at, within this particular type of practice, what qualities are we trying to develop here in this practice? What objects should we focus on in this practice? What are the main tools we're using in this practice? And then what faults and how to overcome various faults in our practice. So within the preparation, preparing the body, of course, we're really talking about having a good posture. But within the body, we can talk about three elements. And that is relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. Relaxation, of course, is talking about having a completely relaxed body. Stillness means that during the meditation, to keep the body still and not sort of keep shifting and scratching and itching and moving. And vigilance here is really talking about a vigilant posture, is to keep the back nice and straight. So when we talk about posture in general, in Buddhism often we talk about a lot of different things that we should look for in posture, and we'll look at those things now. But really, the posture, two core elements of posture, and that is to have the body completely relaxed and keep the back nice and straight. But let's have a look at some of the elements of the posture. Now, generally, with the legs, they often recommended, of course, the most stable posture is the full lotus posture with your both feet up on both thighs, because that's very stable and grounding, but many of us are not that flexible, so that might be a little bit difficult. Then, sometimes they recommended, if you can't do that, do half lotus, where you have one foot on the thigh and the other one underneath. So that's a sort of a little bit easier. Many of us find that also even very difficult. Then many people at the beginning point just sit cross-legged, and that's fine. When you're sitting sort of cross-legged, again, many of us tend to be very stiff in the back and the hips, and so we often just sit flat on the cushion or with a little tiny cushion underneath, and we end up sort of sitting here like this. Of course, if you sit here like this, this is not very stable if your knees are poking up in the air. And also, that's a sign that we're probably putting a lot of strain on the lower back and in here, so we have a lot of pain here. So if you find that your knees are higher than your hips, sit on more cushions. So just keep adding more cushions until your knees are at least level with the hips, ideally touching. So if the knees are touching, then you have three points of contact that's very stable. So you can put maybe a little cushion under each knee as well to give that stability. So at least have the knees level, but ideally touching the cushion, so add more cushions. If you find that you're constantly sort of doing this in the meditation, straightening the back, it means you're very stiff, you need more cushions. More cushions so that the back is naturally straight. Because if you're straining the back to keep it straight, that's going to create a lot of problems in your lower back. So just keep adding more cushions so that when you sit, your back is naturally straight and you're not having to straighten it. Of course, we're not making it too stiff the other way. Sometimes when people sit cross-legged, they find the circulation cuts off. So again, you can play around with that by putting something under the knee to stop the cutting the circulation. Or sometimes people put something between the legs, a little cushion, to stop that as well. So that's something you can adjust and play with so that you don't cut the circulation in your legs. Sometimes as a variation of that, instead of crossing the legs, you can do what's called the Burmese posture, where you have one leg in front of the other. So you just have one leg in front so they're not crossed. So that's another variation you might like to try if you find the circulation is getting cut off. Just one leg in front of the other instead of them crossed. Yeah? So that's another option. Sometimes people have knee problems that damage their knees. So if you've damaged your knees and sitting cross-legged is always painful, then there's no point sitting cross-legged. Rather, you can use sometimes what's called meditation stool, where you can tuck your legs underneath. So you might like to try one of those sometime if you get an opportunity. So you can tuck your legs underneath. You're not crossing the knees and straining the knees. Sometimes people find that even painful. They've got some injury. Then, of course, it's quite okay to sit in a chair. So if you're sitting in a chair, again, it's helpful to have a chair that's suitable for that, because a lot of the chairs, we slouch. And so what you'll find, you may need to put some padding in the back of the chair to keep the back straight instead of slouching. And also maybe the angle of the chair you may need to adjust as well. So you can just have your feet flat on the floor and sitting that way in a chair. Sometimes people have back problems and can't even sit really in a chair. Then also, okay, it's acceptable to meditate in what's called the Shavasana, the corpse posture from yoga, lying flat on the back, hands to the side, in this posture. That's actually something that we're going to be practicing in the evening session, because I think this can be a very helpful thing to use if we're going to do any sort of retreat and our legs are getting hurting a little bit, or even as a practice at home in the evening time. So we're going to look at that in this evening session. So that's some options with the legs. Hands, there are a number of different options there. Generally in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, we use the meditative posture. We have the right hand resting in the left, and the thumbs touching, resting in the lap like this. And that is also a little bit symbolic. We talked earlier about these two aspects of prajna upaya, wisdom, compassion. So the left hand is symbolizing wisdom, the right hand is symbolizing compassion, that we have them integrated, is the thumbs touching. So this is symbolizing this wisdom and compassion integrated in our daily life. So you can have them resting in your lap like this. If you find this a little bit uncomfortable, then of course you can just have your hands resting on your knees. You may have some other position that you're used to. That's okay. So just comfortable. But that's the sort of traditional method that's often explained, particularly within the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So that's the hands. So again, the back, nice and straight. So if you find that you're hunching over, then add some more cushion so that your back becomes naturally straight. We don't want to be straining the back in any way. The head position, if we have it too low, of course, we get drowsy. If we have it too high, we might get agitated. So generally, it's recommended that if your eyes are slightly open, you should be sort of looking in a slightly downward direction if you're looking straight ahead, the head position. But that's something you can adjust a bit. If you find that you're naturally a person that becomes very dull, maybe you can raise a little bit. If you find you're very agitated in meditation, you can lower it a bit. Together with that, the eyes. Generally, it's recommended to have your eyes slightly open, at least a little bit of light coming in, because if you have your eyes closed, usually that's a signal to go to sleep and we get very drowsy. If you have your eyes too wide open, maybe too much light coming in, you get agitated. So the general recommendation is to have them slightly open. But that's something you can play with as well, and we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail later in this retreat. Particularly if your sort of person gets very drowsy, maybe not a good idea to have them closed, you're just going to get sleepy. If you're a sort of person, as a beginner, very, very agitated, and you find them with them slightly open, you're still very agitated, maybe you can experiment with them a little bit closed as a beginning point. So that's something you can also play with. And of course the mouth, just nice and relaxed, not clenching the teeth at all. So these are some of the main elements of the posture. But again, in general, vigilance means the back straight and have the body completely relaxed, completely relaxed. And then through the meditation is to keep the body as still as possible. Because every time we itch and scratch and move, we're getting disturbed. So really trying to get in the habit of not reacting to every little itch and scratch and keep moving. Of course, if you're meditating and your knee has a lot of pain, then maybe we need to adjust the posture. But generally what happens in meditation, and that's what we do in everyday life, some little itch comes and we just automatically scratch. We just do this all the time. So we need to just, if you notice that in meditation, just leave it, it'll pass. And again, if it's some extreme pain, then you need to adjust the posture. Any question about the posture? Anyone's okay about that? Okay. Preparing the speech. A couple of elements here we can look at. Speech here, of course, is not talking about verbal, but mental chit-chat. One thing that is often recommended is if we come into a meditation with a bit of a negative state of mind, then it's hard to move forward with that. So, what we can do in the beginning of the meditation is a little breathing exercise to bring our mind into a neutral state. Because if we focus for a short time on some breathing exercise, that can not only help to relax the body a little bit, but also by focusing on the breathing exercise, we can let go of any negative state of mind that we brought into the meditation. Maybe we're feeling a bit agitated or disturbed or something on a particular day. Now, this breathing exercise can take a number of different forms. Often you'll find within Buddhism, they often talk about what's called this 9-round breathing exercise. It can get very elaborate using sorts of visualization and everything. Sometimes you'll see just count 21 breaths. And another more simple version, which we are going to adopt here, is simply to take 3 slow, deep breaths. And while you're doing that, is just focus on sensations in the body as you breathe. And by doing that 3 slow, deep breaths, it can help to relax the body, but also by focusing on it, we can then let go of any negative state of mind that maybe we came into the meditation with. Once we've done this, then the second aspect is to bring the breath into the natural rhythm, meaning that in this practice we are not trying to manipulate the breath in any way. Now, of course, there are specific meditation practices such as pranayama where we do breath manipulation for a particular purpose. But here in this mindfulness training, we are not to manipulate the breath in any way. So we're not trying to make the breath deep, we're not trying to make it subtle, we're not trying to make it rhythmic, we're not trying to do anything with the breath at all. We're simply allowing the breath to flow in its natural way. Of course, if we have bad breathing habits, then outside of this meditation we can do various exercises to improve our habit of breathing. That's okay outside, But in this particular practice, in the middle of a meditation, we are not trying to do anything with the breath. We're not trying to manipulate it in any way. Because if we do, you'll probably find at some point you'll go, because you're not getting enough air, because you're trying to make it subtle or rhythmic or whatever. But, so just let the breath do whatever it wants. So this is the second part. And then into preparing the mind, we can do two things. First is to bring the mind into the present moment. Because often, and this is our normal way we in our daily life, is we tend to live in the past and the future. Very rarely are we in the present moment. We're always jumping into the past and anticipating the future. In particular, also in meditation, we tend to do that. Particularly, we come into meditation, if we've had a bit of a practice, we come in with some expectation. You know, oh, on my meditation, I hope it's as good as it was yesterday. Oh, it's got to be as good as yesterday, for sure. You know, or, oh, I'm not sure if my meditation is going to be any good today. I'm a bit worried about it. So this sort of hope and fear and worry is not going to be very helpful for meditation. Particularly in mindfulness practice, of course, in mindfulness practice, we are attending to an object in the present moment, so we have to be in the present moment. So the beginning then is we bring the mind into the present moment. We're not living in the past and the future. And also then we set a good motivation for the meditation. Now, of course, we can have all sorts of motivation for meditating. The more expansive our motivation, the better. If our motivation for meditating is only about ourselves, you know, I want to achieve this, I want that, probably you're going to find that when things get a little bit difficult, it's going to be difficult to sustain the practice. Whereas if you can, in your motivation for your meditation practice, is not only have a motivation that I'm doing this practice to improve my mindfulness, but if you can incorporate into your motivation that thereby I'll be able to benefit others more, I'll be able to help others more because of that increase. If you can bring others into your motivation in some way, then you'll find that it's much easier, you'll have much more positive potential momentum in the meditation, and if the meditation gets a little bit difficult, you're more likely to persevere. And we know this in daily life. If you're doing something just for yourself and it gets difficult, oh, I give up, it's too difficult. Whereas if other people are counting on you to do this thing, you're more likely to persevere because you've included others. So very helpful in motivation is to try to make it as expansive as possible and try to include others in the motivation. That I'm not only doing this for my own benefit, but I'm doing this so that I can be of more benefit to others in whatever way. So that's a little bit about preparation. Any questions about any of those aspects of the preparation? Okay, qualities to develop, and then we're going to do a short meditation based on that. What qualities are we developing in this training? So we're developing a calm, clear, focused mind. So, generally, the first quality that we're trying to develop here is stability, a stable mind, meaning that we want to be able to focus on any given object without becoming distracted. That's stability, to be able to hold the object without becoming distracted. So the fault here is distraction. So that's the thing we're trying to overcome, to have a more stable mind, to be able to focus without becoming distracted. But here in this practice, of course, we not only want a stable mind, we want to be able to focus on the object in a very clear way. So that's clarity. So the fault there is, of course, dullness. We're focusing on the object, but it's very dull. It's not appearing very clearly to us. So these are the two qualities that we're trying to develop in this practice. A stable mind, avoiding getting distracted, but also clarity, to be able to focus on the object in a very clear way, overcoming dullness. So these are the two qualities that are normally talked about in the meditation texts on this training. But actually, I like to add a third quality that's not normally mentioned, which I think for us in our modern society is very important to pay attention to. And that is relaxation. Because the reality is that many of us lead very fast-paced lives, very hectic lives. We're bombarded by stimulus. Our minds are completely chaotic. And so, of course, in our daily life, if we want to focus on an object or a task, what do? We clamp down. We forcibly tighten our focus. Because we know if we don't tighten our focus, we're going to get distracted. And so that's the normal way we operate. When we want to focus, we tighten. And if we have to focus only for a very short time, that can sort of work. But we know from our own experience, if we focus on something with this tightness for a longer period of time, we become completely exhausted and we often become very agitated. So this is not the approach we want here. So we want to be able to focus, but in a relaxed way. So the fault, of course, is tension. And I think the reason this wasn't really mentioned so much in the old meditation texts, I think in ancient India and ancient Tibet, people were pretty relaxed. In fact, they were too relaxed. And so generally in this training, the very first instruction you'll see is firmly tighten your focus on the object. Because this was written 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, because people were too relaxed. They needed to tighten their focus. But of course, we in our modern society are already super tight before we start. We're way too tight already. So if we see that, we tighten even more, and then it's a disaster. In fact, as a beginner, probably most of your problems that you're going to experience in meditation is this. You're too tight, you're too tense, you're simply trying too hard. So the very first thing we need to do in this and other practices is relax, relax. So not only have a relaxed body, but a relaxed mind. Because we're not going to be able to make our mind stable and clear if we don't have it relaxed. If our mind is tense, we're going to have all sorts of trouble. Even to the extreme where people say that, oh, I get headaches from meditating. That's a classic sign of super tension. So we need to make sure the very first thing we do is relax, relax, relax. So having a relaxed body and then really relaxing the mind. So we really need to work on that because, again, our instinctive habit in daily life is when we want to focus on something, we tense. And when we relax, we become completely dull. So we want to have the balance. We need to be alert and relaxed. That's not something that we've normally cultivated in our life. We're either relaxed and completely dull and half asleep, or alert and very tight and tense. So we need to eliminate the tightness and tension. We need to combine those two. We need to be relaxed and alert. So that's something we need to cultivate. So we need to really begin by relax, relax, relax. And if we have a relaxed mind,
Then we can work on stabilizing the mind. Then we can work on improving clarity. So we need to work in this order. Any questions about this?
Okay, what I'd like to do now then is, before we break for lunch, is to do a short meditation. So in this meditation, we're really just going to focus on these points here, having a relaxed body, straight back, keeping the body still as possible. We're going to do a little breathing exercise to let go of any negativity and relax the body further, allowing the body to settle into its natural breathing into a natural rhythm, bringing our mind into the present moment, setting a good motivation, and then really just monitoring this relaxation, that we stay relaxed. So we're just going to do that very short, maybe 10, 15 minutes maximum. Any questions about that? Okay. With these meditations, I'm going to use this bell here. So I'll use a bell to start and three gongs at the end to finish the meditation. So then, finding a nice comfortable posture, we'll do a short meditation. It's okay, it'll be self-explanatory. I'll explain everything. So finding that nice, comfortable posture. And keeping the back nice and straight. As an act of loving kindness for yourself, let go of any external distractions and simply allow your awareness to descend into your body, filling the entire space of your body. Simply becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And if you notice any areas of tightness or tension in any part of the body, then use the out-breath to relax and release that tightness or tension to the best of your ability. And then bring your awareness to the area of your face, softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face, the mouth and jaw soft and relaxed, and all the muscles around the eyes soft and relaxed. this way allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. And then we can take 3 slow, deep breaths, maintaining awareness of sensations throughout the body as you breathe. And then simply allow the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or regulate the breath in any way. Relaxing more deeply with each out-breath. And with each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen, happily releasing them. And then give yourself permission to let go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future, for the duration of this short meditation. Simply allow your mind to come to rest in the present moment through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Wherever you most distinctly notice sensations associated with the breathing. And maintain an ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the body, throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. And then think about your motivation for coming here to this retreat. and set the best possible motivation you can for attending this retreat. How would you like to use the skills that you're going to learn in this retreat to improve your life and to help others? Now slowly end this meditation. Any questions or comments before we break for lunch about anything we've covered this morning? At the beginning. So often the tightness and tension, particularly for that's sort of our way in life, it's often around the neck area, in the neck and shoulders. So you can sort of really use, you know, take a deep breath and really breathe into those areas. And particularly on the out breath is a natural time to relax and release. So we can, if we notice any tightness or tension in any part of the body, is really just focus on that, and particularly on the out-breath, is just release that as best we can. The general recommendation is to have them slightly open, because if we have them closed, normally it's a signal to get sleepy and drowsy, and if we have them too open, we get too much light and movement. So the general recommendation for meditation is to have them slightly open, allowing some light in. Of course, we're not really looking at anything. But as a beginner, we can play around with that a little bit. You know, when I first started meditating many years ago, I was super agitated. So I found that even having them slightly open made me more agitated. So I began actually with them lightly closed. And that helped a little bit with the agitation, but of course, then I just went into dullness. You know? So that's something that, depending on whether you're naturally a sort of dull person or an agitated person, we can adjust. You know, if we're very agitated, then maybe we can have them lightly closed. If we find that just having lightly closed, we're sort of half asleep or falling asleep, then definitely we should have them slightly open. So that's something. And then the head position. Again, if we're getting very dull, raise the head. If we're very agitated, then lower it a little bit. So that's something we can adjust a little bit depending on our own disposition as well. Anything else anyone would like to bring up? Okay. Let's break for lunch then, and we'll come back at 2 o'clock. And in the afternoon, two sessions, we're going to start to look at some emotional balance work. Okay? Break for lunch.